Welcome to another episode of Toad's Tunes. My name is Toad. Today we're sitting down with Josh Ross. We dove right into it, man. We're talking about Canada, the move to Nashville, losing the job just to get there. I mean, it was worth it, I think. Christmas trees, some ornaments, Fast and Furious, his favorite car, a Skyline R34. We talked about updating old Chevys with CarPlay and modern technology. Yeah, these new cars just don't have it like the old ones did. Or is that just the opposite? We talked about getting on the road with Nickelback and so much more. I'm going to be quiet now. Let's get to know Josh Ross. I'll make this Friday a lot more fun like before you came along. Wish I could just stop missing you, start moving on, girl. I've been looking like a rock star walking into this bar, finding me a new pair. Welcome to another episode of Toad's Tunes. Today, sitting down with Mr. Josh Ross.
Hey, hey.
Welcome to Vegas.
Here we are.
Welcome to Stoney's Rockin' Country.
Yes.
I don't ever really read about people when I do this, so I just like to have a conversation.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I did read a little bit. You're from Canada.
Originally, yeah.
How long have you been in the States?
I say originally because I've been in the States for a bit. 6 years I'll be in Nashville. Actually was over Thanksgiving, so it's crazy.
Are you a U.S. citizen now, or are you still on one of
like
those?
Like a visa, like a work visa.
How much longer you got?
Next year I'm going to apply for the card and see how it goes. But yeah, it's been a lot of years of visas and unnecessary money, and it's crazy.
It's not a bad thing, dude. So did you watch other people come out of Canada to do what you're doing? Because I know you've got like Lindsay L that's come out of there that's kind of in the same vein of your genre. And
yeah, Lindsay's a good example. I definitely watched people and what they did, you know, in their process of getting to the U.S. And a lot of, I think, Canadian acts have their own career going on there. And, you know, they could be a superstar in Canada, but they aren't in the U.S. And I kind of took a different approach, and I had nothing going on in really both places. And I just felt like I needed to be a better songwriter. I knew I needed to go to Nashville. So I packed up on a random day and went. And it was really cool for the longest time. I mean, I had no following in Canada, but had a following, you know, in Nashville and in the U.S. So, and then it's now watching kind of everything all come together into one.
Did you take trips to Nashville, like, before you decided to move?
Yeah, I think I did three or four writing trips. I'd come down for like 2 weeks to a month, and then I actually lost my job because
you're not going to go to work.
Yeah, exactly. It was basically like you're not, you know, in the right headspace when you're coming back to work. And it basically, honestly, was just like, if you go to Nashville one more time, that's it. And it was actually a friend of mine that had employed me at the time. And he says, as your friend, I tell you to go. As your boss, I say you're fired.
What were you doing? What was your last job?
Project managing and estimating for a construction company.
That's not bad. So why do you look at Nashville and go, that's where I want to be? Did you write back in Canada?
I wrote poorly back in Canada, mostly by myself. And I really didn't know much about the structure. It was more like, you know, storytelling and very more like poetry, I guess would be the best way to say it at that time. And I had done some like music competition stuff, and then realized that my songs were not, you know, super strong, and had a friend named Aaron Goodwin that brought me down to Nashville.
I know Aaron.
Yeah, and then I literally only knew one person. He was the only
and
person.
And that was it?
I knew.
Well, he's from Canada too.
Yeah.
Did you live with him, or I mean know him back in Canada?
His mom found me on Twitter.
No way.
Yeah, I'd done a cover of one of his songs, and she had sent me a message, and then we got connected. And at some point I want to sit down and like draw a map out to like where I'm at now and who I'm working with, and like work backwards to like literally from
how it started.
One person to, you know, now. And
that would be a neat thing on the wall.
Yeah.
Like cool. Really would be a neat thing on the wall. What part of Canada are you from?
Ontario. So Ontario. Between Buffalo and Detroit.
Right above there. And I believe we just spoke football. You're a Buffalo Bills fan?
I am. It was close, easy to go to as a kid.
Did you go to the games?
I probably went to like half dozen.
Right.
And then always, you know, kind of watched on TV, and yeah, still do.
You're diehard now?
I wouldn't say like I'm like over the top.
But if they're on, you'll watch.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. I'm not like that with kind of anything, honestly. Right. It's like if it's on, if I have something else going on, I'll like watch on my phone or, you know, update stats.
I think I'm learning what the scale is if you have an ornament on your tree of that particular sport or something like that, that makes you maybe a little bit more of a fan. Do you have Buffalo Bills stuff on your tree?
No.
Never
no,
have?
No. I actually got to get a tree.
Well, I guess never have was part of that. I mean, so folks, if you want to send them stuff, send them Bills ornaments.
Bills ornaments. A Christmas tree would be nice. Well, it's also funny because like, I go back home for Christmas, so I'll go back for like a week. And so it's like, why do I set up a tree?
Right, you're not going
to
be there.
And I'm like actually not there to put presents under the tree.
So you go down there and you write a few times, and you realize that's where you want to be. You just pack up your shit. Did you drive? Did you fly?
I drove. Lied. And got over the border. And then a lot of things people don't realize is you can't just go get a job in the U.S. without a visa. And I didn't have a visa. So I had to find ways to make money. And I was building furniture for a while, and I would do that and like sell it on Facebook Marketplace. And basically, I mean, I'll probably get in trouble for this, but I would just like pretend like I had a piece of furniture for sale, sold it, and I'd be like, come pick it up tomorrow. And I'd go to Home Depot that day and build it, and then stain the wood. And then, yeah, it was like TV stands, end tables, coffee tables. And
right.
Yeah. That's how
you
got
to come over the house. I have a wood shop in my backyard.
Yes, literally.
Yeah. I really do. I bought a CNC machine during COVID, and that started it all. And then I ended up with a bunch of stuff in the back. Built a shoe rack in the garage because I was sick of all the shoes on the damn floor, and the garage drives me nuts. But yeah,
it's enjoyable woodworking.
It's peaceful.
Yeah. It was a little like, got like a lot for me, because it would be like, okay, I have like 6 coffee tables to make today.
And they
got to
pick them up tomorrow.
Yeah, it turned into a job, you know, and then right. I wasn't enjoying as much. But no, I still like tinker around with stuff if I can and try to build stuff.
I talked to a buddy because he posted something on Facebook or Instagram. He was building these gardens, above ground gardens, and they were like maybe 4 foot off the ground. Yep. And then the dirt pile and everything like that. I asked him how much they were. He's like, $250. I was like, dude, no. So I went to Home Depot myself. I think I spent $60. Yeah, 2 hours. I got my own. Yeah. I'm like, why the? I mean, great idea, but thanks, bud. Yeah. But I'll go ahead and make my own. But
it's convenience for people, I guess. And
yeah,
if you don't know how to do it, you don't know how to do it. It's like working on a car. Or, you know, if you can, you probably will. And if you can't, that's it.
What is your favorite car?
Favorite car? I grew up a Fast and the Furious fan as a kid. The Nissan Skyline.
Skyline.
GZR.
Right-hand drive?
Yeah, probably the R34 was probably my favorite.
Volkswagen guy.
Yeah.
I have a problem with Volkswagens. The nice part about Fast and Furious is I'm a Hot Wheels collector as well.
Okay, cool.
But they just came out with this Fast and Furious pack not too long ago, and it's got a Jetta in it, the white Jetta that they drove. Yeah.
From second Fast and Furious. No, that's from the one, original.
Not number one. Yeah.
Original, yeah.
Yeah, when they were all poor, super poor. Then all of a sudden they just got a lot of money. Now they're driving badass cars.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't know how that works.
I grew up a fan thanks to, you know, my brother, and then I was a huge... We were just talking before this, like, if you ever get starstruck by people, and probably one of the only people that ever was Paul Walker.
Yeah.
And
something about him.
Yeah, it's just mannerisms. I think it's just his character, who he was. And, so that was, I mean, that's what I love that. And not that I'm a car guy, that, like, now I'm more like a truck person, but I still love fast cars.
Yeah, me too, man. I have a Toyota Tundra, and I also have an Audi SQ5. Okay. So I like to go fast, and I like to tow stuff.
I had a Tundra. Bless you.
Wait, thank you. What year?
I was in 2009.
Jesus, I think I'm allergic to you.
That's okay.
In 2009. I bought an SQ5, and I went from that to a 2017 Toyota Tundra, and my son was like, you're going to hate it, because you go from an Audi where everything's tight finish everything. So I ended up buying a Platinum.
Yeah.
So I was at everything. Heated seats, cooling seats.
They're like, great trucks.
Dude, I love my truck.
Yeah. I have a Ford now, but I have to still say, like, I knew in the Toyota, I mean, the Ford's brand new, so I know nothing's going to go wrong.
150? 250?
Yeah, well, F-150, yeah. Okay. And it's great, and it's brand new, and it's got all the screens and all the stuff, but my Toyota was, like, super simple. I knew what I was going to get. I knew I was going to always make it to where I had to go. And
I grew up with, before they were Tacomas, the SR5s. Mm-hmm. That's what I had, like, 85, 86. Like, I had those, awesome. But I love my Tundra. Like, I just literally got rid of the old deck that I had in it and put in one of the new flat panel screens.
Yeah. Sick.
So now I kind of have a new Tundra. It has CarPlay in it.
Yeah.
And it's weird because my Audi has more technology and it's 2 years older than my Toyota, which is...
Yeah, they're a little bit behind on stuff.
I guess.
I'm having that debate right now. So I have a 94 Chevy that I've been like working on and building. And
two-wheel drive, four-wheel drive?
Four-wheel drive, yeah. Okay. It has just the old school deck with FM radio AM in it. And I'm like, do I put CarPlay? Like, to me, it just kind of feels weird. Or is this a truck when I get into it? It's like you only listen to the radio. It's traditional, you know, you don't have Google Maps or, you know, any of that kind of stuff.
It fucks you up, dude. It really does.
Yeah.
I mean, because my truck, my old deck didn't have CarPlay in it.
Yeah.
My Audi doesn't, but it has maps in it.
Right.
My truck had nothing. And so I ended up going to CarPlay. But then I like sit back and it's like, if I go someplace I've never been before.
Yeah.
What do? Print out the map or you hold your phone.
You hold your phone out.
Like, I'm not looking to get tickets and shit like that.
Yeah. Are they strict here?
If they see you on your phone, you're done.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
pretty good, but
stupid tickets.
You're not supposed to be on it.
I get mad that when I drive down the street now, 9 times out of 10, this is all you see is people like this. That's why they're driving. And I'm like, I just want to get in front of them, slam on my brakes, and just put my trailer hitch right up in them.
Yeah, leave your hitch on.
I would win.
Yes, 100%.
Right? I think so.
Yeah.
So moving to Nashville, what's your big break?
Yeah, I mean, it's a funny thing is, you know, everybody right now is like, you know, the stars rising, things are going. And it's like, I feel like I've been doing it for a minute.
So 6 years in Nashville?
Yeah, I really started in like 2016-17.
Okay.
I was still in college up in Canada. I had some injuries, and that's when I started just kind of picking up the guitar and playing. But
playing sports?
Yeah.
What'd you play?
Football.
Football, okay.
Yeah. And then Yeah, music was just like a fun thing that I just enjoyed to do. It was more of like a therapeutic thing for me. And then, yeah, getting to Nashville was, you realize very quickly that the talent pool is massive.
It's huge.
So, yeah, songwriting. And my big thing for me, honestly, was just being true to myself and songs. I was really trying to think, you know, look at what other people are doing and people that I admired and being like, okay, I have to write like them or sing like them, or I hadn't really like found my voice yet. And the really cool thing I think for me was I found my voice through writing songs that were actually true to me.
Right. A little bit more of an emotional attachment to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so I wrote a song called First Taste of Gone. And that honestly was the first time that I walked out of the writing room. We were supposed to record a different song. I called my producer at the time, and this is when we were doing like songs for like $500 or $1,000. And I was like, I can't do the song we're doing. This, I just wrote the song today. I feel like this is actually me.
It's a great tune.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And yeah, it was just one of those ones where it just came so organically. Wrote it with one of my best friends, and a true story about what was going on in my life. And that was the first time. And then we put it out. First time to get, you know, recognition on the internet and all the different kind of like streaming stuff and
the TikToks,
local radio, TikToks, all that stuff. Yeah. And
that was up in Canada.
That was my first single I ever put the radio independently in Canada.
Gotcha.
I did that, and I think we got like top 40 independently before Universal took over.
It's pretty rad.
It was great. And it was just, but it was, for me, it was the first time that like I'd had messages from people like on socials being like, I love this song and that, but that was the first time I got a song where people were like, I really resonate with this, or this is helping me through this, and stuff like that. And I was like, damn, this is really cool.
That's probably one of the best feelings, right?
Yeah. Cause I mean, years of you just putting, like, I probably had put 5 or 6, 7 songs out before that were like, you know, they did okay, but it wasn't
not like that.
No. And that was the first time where it was like, okay, people in like, you know, saving the song and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, so I'd say that song was a big moment for me. And then moving forward, I just knew it was like, I have to write stuff that is very true to my life, and whether I want to talk about it or not. You know, even tonight, it's like a lot of people are like, well, you have a lot of heartbreak songs or this and that. It's like, well, I did go through that for 2.5 years. Like,
we all do.
That's, yeah.
At some point, right?
And that was true to my life. And then, you know, now I'm in a kind of a new season of change, which I'm excited about. And I have lots of music next year coming that is stuff that I'm writing now. That's how I feel now. So
who are you signed with?
Universal.
Universal. But, yeah. And you work with Core Group.
Yeah, Core, yeah.
You just went out with the Nickelback guys, right? Mm-hmm. And Brantley Gilbert?
Yeah.
Is that right? How was that, dude?
Crazy.
Like, growing up in Canada, were you a fan of Nickelback?
I was like, again, like, I loved their songs. I, you know, wasn't like, I got to go to a Nickelback show. I honestly really didn't go to concerts a lot. But their songs were always on the radio. Like,
it's crazy when you think about it. I mean, I tell this joke all the time that you can't tell people you're a fan of Nickelback, but if it comes on, you sing it.
Yeah.
Period, end of story.
Yeah, they had merch on the tour that said Nickelback fan or liar on the t-shirt.
Oh, dude, really?
And it's like kind of
true. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It is.
It's so true. And honestly, I mean, that was the greatest tour for me. I mean, obviously, a huge one to be on is your first one. And
you're doing it backwards, dude.
It's just interesting because it was definitely in forwards for a long, yeah. But no, it was great. I mean, Chad was so good to me, and the whole Nickelback crew, I learned so much from them just watching him every night. And,
I could only imagine because that's a different level. Even if you look at the genre that you're in, who's got a career that long other than George Straits, the Garth Brookses of the world?
I mean, 26 years they've been
on
the road, and I think they're like in the top 15 most grossing bands of all time. Like it's
I love telling this story. I always tell people as a joke growing up that I wasn't a fan, but I listened to them. And then one day I got their DVD from Red Rocks, and I put it in my DVD player and I watched it and I went, holy shit.
That's cool.
Holy shit. These
they're
guys
so
are
good.
Badass.
They're good.
Yeah.
They're so good. They sound good. Chad's an incredible singer.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then honestly, Brantley too, like I really learned a lot from him, especially when it came to like the crew and the people you surround yourself with and the family atmosphere.
Right.
And he's been so good to me. Like, you know, even just texts and checks in on how I'm doing, like stuff like
that.
I'm like,
that's pretty rad. Cause he's kind of on top of his game.
Yeah. I mean, he's just Brantley. It's very interesting. At first, you know, you're like kind of intimidated. You go to meet him, you're like tattoos and this, you're not sure what you're going to get. And, he's just such a nice guy.
That's kind of cool that you get that experience to go out and really learn. And now, so are you out 24? You're going to go out and do your own? You come back here in February. I don't know if you know that.
We're that's popping off the Bailey, because we're on Bailey Zimmerman starting in February.
Okay. So you're the second.
Yeah. So we catch you like, I think it's, I'll have one night with Bailey before we come back here.
That's badass.
And then, yeah, I think we're with Bailey for about 30 dates.
Just you and him?
Starting the year off, yeah. Yeah.
Is he with the core group, too?
Yes. Yeah.
See, that's...
Yeah.
Man. And Nate.
Nate's there.
I got Nate here the week after you're here.
Yeah.
Nate played here. I love that kid. Man, Nate's I love great. That kid. He's such a good dude.
Yeah.
His story's neat, like where he came from. I just love hearing the success with good people, man.
Nate's awesome. Bailey and I just have a lot of fun together. And
He's young, yeah?
I think he's 24, so he's about 4 or 5 years younger than myself. And we just bounce ideas off each other, talk about life and the business and kind of vent. And he's a great dude.
It's cool. How social are you?
Like on social media?
Yeah. Is that
definitely
your thing?
I mean, I'm definitely like more of the Instagram social than say
TikTok
like
and stuff.
Yeah, making like the videos. I mean, I'm definitely doing it and need to do it more. I'm just I don't know how to describe it. Simple person.
Right.
So to sit there and be like, okay, I got to record myself singing, and I just forget. It's almost like I kind of forget about it. You know, as much as like I know it really helps, and depending on what you know the goals are and stuff like that. But yes, I do need to do it more. But I'm just easier. Like I'll take a photo of this room and be tagging on Instagram and be like, okay, this is where I'm at, versus like a video of myself.
It's pretty weird. I got a TikTok back in. Maybe 2018, 2019. My daughter is now, she's going to be 16.
You're in the thick of it.
Dude, right. She doesn't have TikTok anymore. We gave her either Instagram or TikTok.
Right.
Your call, whatever one you want.
Great.
And she went from TikTok to Instagram now. She loves Instagram because that's what most of her friends are on. But I named myself Toad Talk, which I thought was kind of cool. And then I'm like sitting back and the only messages I was getting for the longest time was, hey, dude, can I have your name? Can I have a screen name? I was like, but what I wanted to do was give people a back end view of what your life is like when you show up here.
Right.
Because everyone just thinks you show up, you get on stage, you do your show. It's Vegas. I'm going to say what I always say, hookers and blow, then you move on to the next fucking city. But that's not real life, you guys. But people don't know that side.
Yeah.
So I mean, was the goal, was to show that side of the world. But I'm like you. Like,
yeah.
My stories. Or food, or upcoming shows. That's it.
That's it. I mean, and then, like, to be honest, like, there's a lot of stuff I probably couldn't share.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're just saying that. Like, tonight, are we going to probably go out and party later on?
Hell yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, but you should. It's Vegas.
But I'm not going to put a TikTok. You know, like, we were in Arizona last night in Scottsdale, and, I mean, that was a whole other adventure. So it's... Is there a story that I could post of like downtown, old town Scottsdale or, you know...
absolutely.
On the strip tonight? Yeah, I could do that. But I'm not going to, like, make a TikTok of... me in the bar having drinks or whatever.
Right, just doing you. Yeah. Just being a regular person.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest problem that I believe that social media puts people in this different kind of place because everyone gets an insight to your life.
Yes.
I went back 2 years ago, and do you know Sam Groh?
I know of Sam, yeah.
I went to his Opry debut. End up having Thanksgiving in his house and everything like that.
Nice.
And I come back here, and these people that hang out here, we're like, dude, how was Thanksgiving, man? How was Nashville? I'm just like, totally forgot I posted that, but I don't even know you.
Yeah.
But it's kind of neat at the same time because they kind of get an insight to what your world is.
Oh, totally.
But the other side of it is they think they know you.
Yeah, yeah, which is a really cool thing because I think I want people to get to know me, and I think I've realized more lately that as much as me sitting here and talking about who I am as a person, I think people are going to get to know me again through the songs and lyrics.
Absolutely.
I think for me that works easier. There are some people that are just like, here's my life and they talk about it and that's it. I think I want people to like dive in on the lyric and stuff, but you are right. It's kind of odd when like, but it's cool at the same time. They'll be like, oh, how was Saturday out on the lake with Paxton? And I'm like, okay, you know, I was on the lake and you know my dog's name.
Right. Kind of creepy, but at the same time, it's like, fuck.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So
I go through phases like that where I get really quiet for a while. Like I don't post pictures per se, like on my, what do they call that? On your story. No,
like
I post stories.
Like
I don't post a lot of feed
stuff.
I post the people that I sit with,
that
sort of stuff. And every now and then I'll post something that's like something in my life that's happening. But other than that, everything's a story. It's weird. I think everyone has their thing. And I think that's the fun of it is you get to find your own way. And
no, I love it. It's good.
Artists that you look at right now that are kind of in the same place that you're at that you love to listen to. Or that you like to listen to.
I mean, again, like, I'm very fortunate. I'm surrounded by the Baileys and the Nates, and those are guys that I also just admire in what's going on. And definitely those would be two. And I got buddies in town, Kelsey Hart. He's an upcoming artist, too, that's over at Curb. He's a great guy. And then, you know, so many different people. I mean, I look at, obviously, what, you know, Morgan's doing, Hardy's doing, and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah,
it's crazy to see what the genres, where it's at.
it's not even a genre anymore.
No.
I really don't think it is. You look at so many things like the Jelly Rolls of the world, and you, like his story is phenomenal. Even Hardy's story. Mm-hmm. I mean, just they're so neat. Hardy sat in here and I asked him if he wasn't doing music, what he'd be doing. And he was like, mowing lawns. Yeah. And I was like, check this out, dude. I got 2,400 square feet of grass in my backyard. Yeah. He's like, you got a lawnmower? I'm like, no, but I'll pick one up on the way home. But that's, he's still a regular person.
Yeah.
If you weren't doing music, what's your passion?
Oh, man.
Outside of.
I probably would have been in like real estate or something like that.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the construction stuff, but I also realized like digging holes and
it's labor.
That's great. Like, hands down, the hardest work. Like, you know, you'd be, see people at 50, 60 years old and they're still like
grinding,
laying water, you know, water pipe or sewers and stuff. And I'm like, I was like, I don't necessarily want to do that. You know, I tended windows. I had a window tending company for a lot of years for cars and commercial buildings and stuff. Learned a lot of lessons through that.
Can't shortcut that shit.
I know. No, definitely not. And it's like the more money you want, the higher, you know, the better cars you're working on, the people are more picky. And it's 100 degrees outside and you're in the back window of a Corvette just sweating, you know, trying to take the
in a little tiny area. Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to do this.
my buddy Theo owns a detail shop and he's high-end stuff. Like I bought this Volkswagen, an R32. It was only 500 of them in the United States in this particular color that ever came here. I got very lucky, bought off a guy, but the paint needed a lot of correction. He had it for like 5 weeks, six weeks. Sent me all these pictures of what he was doing. I was like tripping out because he took the whole thing apart. Like he's that particular. But I go in there today and he's $300,000-$400,000 GT3 RS sitting in there. And I'm like, all carbon. I'm like, dude, like what does this guy do for a living that he just has this car and drops it off to you for a month for you to
do whatever to it.
Put PPF on it so a rock doesn't chip the paint. Yeah. I'm like, Jesus Christ. And, you know, the money in that business is the tinting, the detailing. But you're right.
Stuff, yeah. When I get that 94 painted, I was looking at getting the PPF done on it and stuff. And
he did my SQ5. He paint corrected the whole thing. He did the whole hood, the whole front, the whole quarter panels. And then he did the
pillars.
The pillars, And I love it.
Yeah.
And then he did the C-Quartz stuff all over it, whatever they call it. Yeah. I'm not very super versed in it. I just know what works, I guess.
Yeah. That's
it looks
awesome.
Badass.
That's cool.
What's your favorite song you've been a part of?
Like sang?
Sure. Just in general. Like what's one song that you've either written, been a part of that you just look back and go, you know, today, up to today, that's my...
I mean, for myself, it would definitely be Trouble.
Yeah.
Just because the story was beyond honest. Like,
hit home.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, like First Days of Gone, for instance, was an honest story just about somebody moving on. But Trouble was an actual, like, situation. It was a phone call that I left for somebody wanting them to come back and fix me. Yeah. And then just to see that end up being so far my biggest song.
Huge, yes.
Yeah. That's really cool. So
favorite song live to sing?
Probably a song called On a Different Night. It's more up.
I like that song too.
Party fun.
Yeah.
I'm learning as I get further along this. I've always kind of known this, but like especially musically and sonically, is I have definitely a lot of different avenues, but there's just two sides. There's like the complete like party fun, and then there's like I'm super sad. And my mom always, I am a Gemini, so my mom always says, you know, there's the two sides to the Gemini thing. And
is that June?
May.
Yeah. Oh, end of May.
Yeah, 27.
19th.
Okay.
Yeah, Taurus. So Taurus, I'm on the other side.
You got the cut. You're on the other side. But yeah, and I love them. That's something I'm really excited about for next year. Is, you know, we're finally at the point now where we can put more money into the show and develop what's going to look like and lighting and screens and all that. And I want next year to be like people are about to cry. And then next song,
you blow them out of the water.
And then they're like raging, you know, on the next one. And that's taking on kind of the journey as who I am as a person, because like I'm not perfect. And, you know, days like today, I'll be honest, like, you know, I had a long night last night. And
it's like, I love the text message I got. Is it okay if we come back and do this one later? I'm like, absolutely. He's like, he needs to sleep. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's
like the
you're human.
The Sunday scaries were Saturday scaries today.
Right.
You know, and that's the truth, honestly. And that's just who I am as a person. I'll say, like, I'm not drinking or having fun like that again. And then
tomorrow.
Literally. And it's like, I'm like, I swear this is the last time, you know, like I'm done with this.
I kind of quit drinking. And then when I say kind of, I don't drink much at all. Maybe once or twice a year. But then I'll get an artist that comes in here that heard that I had a drink with another artist. And then you build this rapport with them. And then the second or third time they come back and they're like, dude, this is bullshit. We're doing a shot. And I'm just like, I don't want to, because then the next day I'm a mess. And the next day after that, I'm a mess. And like, I like to be productive the next day.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. And then like just, you know, you kind of get like the anxiety of after. I'm like, what? Like, I don't recall having that when I was younger. But maybe I like maybe
you're still
I,
young.
Well, I also I'm saying yeah, I'm also from Canada. Like in Canada, you'd have like a fake ID at like 17 and go to the bar.
Okay.
So like I feel like I've been kind of there for a while, and then yeah, lately. But it used to be like probably one or two shots, and now it's like you go out and you're like 5'10". They're like
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
And then you're like this is so dial. I think for me the biggest thing is dialing back.
Yeah, self control, dude. Yes, self control. Yes. And Jack's your thing.
Yeah. Oh, like first drink I ever had, and it's the only one that when I'm actually sick from it, I'm okay with it, and it's very weird. So
you'll go back to it.
I still go back to it.
Newcastle was the one thing. I cannot smell that, nothing. I think my 25th birthday or something like that, I drank a six-pack of it myself.
Oh, yeah.
I was sick for 3-4 days, dude.
That's like me with, is it Bombay, that blue bottle of...
Sapphire?
Yeah. That brings me back to a horrible night of my life when I was like 17, 18. I had broken up with and snuck out of the house. And basically, my dad was my boss at the time. I couldn't go to work, and he just... I remember laying on the bathroom floor with like a blanket, you know, just like sick. And he came in and he's like, "You're so stupid."
Right. And you're like, "Thanks, Dad."
Yeah. No, he was the dad that like when you first were going out and he could tell like if you had drinks, he'd pick you up and then he'd be like swerving all the way home. And
just
like,
to fuck with you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude.
So you get in the driveway and you're like, "I'm going to throw up." And he would just laugh at you.
Right.
Like, that was my dad. Because
he was there.
Yes. That's my dad. There.
Does he come out and see you on the road?
Yeah. They've been out to quite a few shows this year, which has been really special, and it's really cool just to see again. For a lot of years they were probably like, he has an education, he has a degree, yeah.
played sports
like what do you like, you know? Honestly, I was like, I'm moving to Nashville, and they're like, what? Like, my mom's very free spirit and is more always like, go do what's good for you kind of thing. My dad is the blue collar, you know, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock till 4 or 5 every day, and
right.
Was probably very much, or I know he was like, what is going on? And I think it was until like somebody came in the office and was like, oh, I heard such and such on the radio, or
that's my boy.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh dang, this is actually a thing. So
brothers and sisters,
half brother, half sister, but okay. They've been there since I was born, so they've been, they're 10, 12 years older than me.
Musically inclined at all, or no? You're the only one.
Brother's in the car industry. Okay. Kind of like he works in a car shop. Owns a car shop, and then my sister's in and her husband own telecommunications.
Do they come company. Out and see you too?
They do. Yeah, it's been
that's
awesome.
Got to be so neat.
And I got nieces and nephews now. I got 5 total, and so Uncle Josh is.
They're all the way in Canada.
They are.
Yeah.
And then my most of my cousins and uncles, aunts, they're all in the U.S. So I'm Santa Monica, and then Bar Harbor, Maine. So I got both coasts.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah.
So you're kind of still at home in some sense because you get to run into these people.
Yeah. And they come to shows, and I grew up, my dad's favorite sports, NASCAR and motocross, so I grew up a huge NASCAR fan. So I've always felt like, everybody's like, how was the transition when you moved to Nashville? And I was like, it's perfect. Like, I literally was like, when I first went there, it was just for actually a fun trip with my parents for New Year's.
And to Nashville?
To Nashville. My dad was working in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and we took a drive down to Nashville, and as soon as I got there, I was like, this is home. And it's very weird to describe to people, like, people like to move around, and they just haven't found their place.
Right.
For, you know, 22 years, I've lived in Canada, and within 2 days, I was like,
"This is where I want to be."
This is actually this is where home is for me.
I think I've had those feelings. I've been in Vegas a long time. I was born in California, wasn't there very long. Yeah. Moved here, moved to Jersey for 3 years, and then I came back here as a kid. And I was just like, sometimes you wonder if this place is like you spent too much time somewhere,
right?
Sort of thing. And it's like I've been traveling here and there. I go to Nashville. So pre-COVID, I was probably in Nashville twice a month. We used to go all the time because we were just starting a lot of the music stuff, getting stuff on a regular basis here. So it was going out there. Like I watch Whiskey Jam every Monday at home. I just sit
there.
I pull it up on my phone, and if I see someone that I've never heard of, and lately there's been a lot of that, bands that I've never heard of before. Yeah. I just go listen because it's for me. That's how I find you guys.
Ward's great at doing that, bringing in new people. And
Ward and I have had many conversations about how to do what he's doing on the road, and it's just too difficult because you guys all live there.
Yeah.
You know, so to go down there is nothing.
Yeah.
Compared to
flights and all
flights
that stuff,
and rooms and food, and you know, it just gets to the point where it's
but like on situations like where we're on the Bailey Run, I mean, that's perfect. We're already this way, and we get to stop through again, which is awesome. And that's exciting.
How long are you out on the road with Bailey?
February 1st until, I think, the middle of May.
And then after that, that's the big Morgan, and then everyone, you're not on the Morgan
I'm not
thing.
On the Morgan stuff. I got, like, I think 30 festivals or something like that to do, which is great. And then...
I've never met Bailey, but I get to see him in July. I actually had an offer in for him here, and right before last year, it was a hold, accepted, and then he got on a couple dates with Morgan, and I was screwed.
Yeah.
Because I knew he was going
to
blow up.
Yeah, no, it's been cool to watch his star rise and what's going on there.
Huge,
and,
fast.
Yeah, very fast. Yeah, it's crazy. Very, like, but awesome. And he's done a great job of just being him. And
so next year, when you get off of that, you'll start doing festival stuff. When do you put together your own headlining tour?
I'm looking for the fall. My goal is for the fall next year.
Fall next year.
Yeah.
So I'll have to add it back here again. Yeah. I'll do it again.
Yeah, it'd be sweet.
Like, most of the time, I won't do artists even as fast as we're doing this one.
Yeah.
It's very, very rare.
Right.
But I think that this was I called Mojo and I actually asked for this show. I have my other reasons for why I did it, but
yeah.
I wanted the show before the end of the year.
Yeah.
And then I'd already had the show booked.
For next year.
For next year.
Because when I saw that, I was like, okay, I guess we're doing this twice.
Which, yeah.
I mean, it's awesome.
Yes.
I do not mind coming here.
I'll explain it to you after this. But my point in it was like, I think that we can introduce you now. And in Vegas, what happens is if you show them that you're human, they will love you.
Yeah.
Like when you're done with your show, if you go out and you're just a human, they'll love you.
That's who we are.
Yep. And
well,
I mean,
most of us.
Yeah. So. Most. Well, you'd be surprised, man. You'd be surprised. Actually, you probably wouldn't. What's been your favorite place to go to so far out on the road? Like, what place have you gone to and went, wow, that was freaking cool?
I can ask
you that and you don't have to say Stoney's because you haven't played.
No, yet. No. We did a little bar and it's usually things where I'm like caught off guard. We're like, you know, you might roll in and you're like, I really don't know how this is going to be. We had to do like an acoustic show. It was like about a month ago in South Carolina. I'm trying to remember the name of the place now. It's going to bug me. But we were sitting there and we're like, how's it going to be tonight? And they're like, it's actually going to be full. And I was like, wait, what? And we're just acoustic. And it was the best night. It was one of those nights, honestly, where
your expectation was here and then
and then people in the front row are like, hey, you know, not that like I wanted shots, but like everybody was so like just having a good, it was like a Wednesday night.
Right. And even better.
Like, yeah. And I get off and then, you know, stand at the bar and hanging out with people and just like, again, like being human, getting to know people and stuff like that. And then obviously just places I've always dreamt of playing. Like I got to play the Forum with Nickelback and just seeing those kinds of venues is like, I was like, wow, this is, you know, so some of that was very special. And Arizona was special. Just first time, you know, with the radio side of things. You know, again, being from Ontario, living in Nashville, first song to radio, seeing, I think that week when we played there, Trouble was like the most 12th most consumed song of like all in country across like radio, DSPs, all that stuff.
Who tells you that?
The label did at that time.
And how do you, they just call you?
I think it's just, I think obviously like spin rate and then, you know, they can pull up the numbers in each area.
So like Spotify, I'm saying like, Apple. Do you get a phone call and you go, holy shit?
No, that was like a really random. I think that was one of the highest consumed places, the markets that I played. For me, it was so cool because it was so far away.
Right.
And I was in like a really cool place. It was 114 degrees outside and we got to go inside, play. And then it was the first time that I like, honestly, played Trouble and people were like singing. And I was like, and I'm in Phoenix, Arizona.
Right.
This is crazy.
That was
on the Nickelback run.
Oh, the Nickelback.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So
that's
super
even
cool.
Cooler because you think about that. Like how many people were at that show? Like
at the end, yeah. For me, maybe I mean not that it's not a lot, but you know 5,000 to 7,000 for as an opener.
That's a lot of people.
Yes,
I just meant in a sense of so you're on the West Coast, a place you've never been to before, opening for a band that's a totally different genre that you are, that's way older than you, probably old enough to be your dad, and you got people singing music back to you. That's probably one of the coolest things.
It's crazy, I love it.
There's nights here that this room turns electric. And there's times where I'll go up on stage to hand stuff out and you feel something.
Yeah.
And I'll walk off the stage and I'll be like, I understand your drug.
Yeah.
I understand it. Because you get up there and I like to say this, a lead singer that writes his own music and tells his own story, don't take this the wrong way, there's a screw loose somewhere because your trust in these people to listen to you and believe in you and to hear your story and then relate to it has got to be one of the hardest things in the world to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I've always said, people are like, what can you relate to? And I was like, well, I've never painted a photo and, you know, gone to a gallery and like let people see it. But it's like, you know,
you put
a painting on the wall and somebody walks up to them and they're like, I love this. I don't love this. And that's what it is with each song. You know, you're gonna have songs where people are like, you think it could be the best song ever because it means so much to you. And then people just don't resonate with it, and But so far, we're lucky on most of the stuff.
Do you go back and look at the first stuff that you've written?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Do you leave some of your first songs on Spotify or YouTube or all that kind
of
stuff?
A lot of it is up there right now that I've like lately been to the label. I'm like, what, like, is it worth us keeping this stuff up? And then they're like, well, it shows growth. You know, you don't have a lot of songs out yet.
Don't take them away.
No, but it's not terrifying, but it is so crazy to hear, listen back.
I think that in today's world, people don't just consume what you have today.
Yeah.
I think they go back. I will tell you that I know there's a lot of people that will be here tonight that don't just know one song of yours.
Yeah.
That know four or five songs of yours.
Right.
Like front to back.
Right.
I know there's a lot of people here that are super excited, and I think that that's what the neatest part about music today is, you're giving them an avenue to get all that. There's a guy by the name of Scott Stevens. I don't know if you know him.
Yep.
The first time he played here, I found him with a song called Back.
Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah. Dude, I was a fan, like, I still am, but I was a fan of Scott when I first moved to Nashville.
He's such a neat dude.
He's a character.
To think that he's an attorney by day. He took me into my first ever weed store here.
Yeah?
Yep, sure did. he said two things I want to do on this run. He's probably played here seven times. He's such a good dude. When I fly to Nashville, I go meet him and we have cheeseburgers at the place right next to his office, which is awesome. He's just a good fucking dude. But he had this song called Back that I thought was like one of the neatest songs, but he took it off of everything.
Yeah.
I have it on my phone still because I had it on iTunes or whatever.
That's because he like re-signed a different with somebody else. I remember that. I remember that song. That I know exactly what you're talking about.
I want to say that there was some problems with the writer and some problems with the producer because another song came out that was very similar to it at the same time. And he just took it. But I go back to it and I'll play it for people. I played it for my buddy Brian just the other day. And he was like, dude, I really like that song. And I'm like,
yeah. He's just got like this, like he's got groovy, you know?
He don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
He don't.
Truthfully what it is.
His last show here, he shot his video that comes out, I think, next week.
Oh, sick.
But I put him behind my bar here.
Yeah.
And he goes, this is what I want to do. They rode the bull here. I put him behind the bar, and he grabbed two bottles of Maker's Mark.
Yeah.
And I had the security guard grab him, like, throw him out. Like, it was, like, the coolest thing. Yeah. So he sent me the video the other day, and I was like, sick. Dude, this is so rad.
That's awesome.
He was asking me where to go in town to shoot stuff, so we sent him down to the plaza with the lights, and they got one taken, and they got kicked out of there. But was part of the fun.
Yeah.
I think he's tried to get me to get tattoos with him 3 or 4 times. Yeah. I'm like, not doing it.
That happens.
I won't drink with that guy.
I won't drink with
him. Yeah, the Maker's Mark that dude puts, and the weed that guy smokes.
Yeah. The weed thing's a whole other thing too, but
I always like to say there's two different types of weed. There's regular weed and there's rapper's weed.
Yeah. Yes.
I want to stay away from the rapper's weed.
The Snoop Dogg weed.
I like to think, you know.
Yeah.
What do you think of his? Did you see his little thing? He came out and he said he was going to quit smoking. Everybody freaked out.
No, I didn't see that.
Dude, he came out with this whole thing on he was going to quit smoking.
Wow.
He's not going to smoke anymore. But it was about a no smoke heater kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
He ain't gonna ever quit smoking. That dude is like you could probably smoke his finger and get high.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. I've heard I had friends that were on tour with him way back in the day, and that his security guy had a fanny pack, and it's all these, you know. So whenever he just looks at him, he's like, I need a joint. It's like,
I don't think I could walk the way that guy smokes.
No.
There's no way. Biggest thing you're looking forward to next year?
Just more music.
More music.
I think I'm in, like I said earlier, a season of change in regards to the heartbreak stuff, which is still kind of there. But I'm also just kind of in a mode right now where I just don't really care as much.
Right.
And I've been really just excited about that and just kind of what that means and writing about it. And I'll show you some stuff after this that's just so different than what I've done.
I love it.
And I'm super excited about it. Just about being on the road. The Bailey stuff's gonna be incredible next year, and
just you and him.
Yeah, yeah. Some direct support for him, which will be awesome.
And those are probably all big rooms too.
I think they're all 2,000 to 7,000.
I wish I could get that kind of stuff in here. Our cap's 1,167.
That's perfect.
Oh, it's a perfect room.
For me. Like now, it's the greatest thing ever.
I like it because it's a stepping stone for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Dylan Carmichael came through here, and there was three things on his bucket list. Opry.
Yeah.
You know him?
In passing, for sure.
He was the first employee to ever play the Opry.
Oh, shoot. He was an employee of the Opry?
Security guard. Yes.
No way.
Played the Opry. And then he wanted to play Billy Bob's and Stoney's. So I said, here's the deal, dude. We're going to do Stoney's, obviously, because he played the show. And then I said, when Billy Bob's happens, I'm there. Just make sure I get in, because I want to see that for him.
That's one in Texas, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My photographer, she was there last night.
That's who that girl is down there?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
For all the fans out there, dating, girlfriend? Don't answer it. We'll leave that alone. I had to, just because that's like the super fun. Tell people how to find you online.
Most socials are at Josh Ross Music, joshrossmusic.com. And I just appreciate you guys very much. Thanks for having me.
Hell yeah, dude. Thanks again for the time.
See you soon. Wishing you would call, but you won't. That it'll give